we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
I gotta say, every time I listen to that opening sequence, I'm like, that does not sound like me.
But it does. Everybody, to me, nobody likes the sound of their own voice.
It's wild every time. Also, hello. Welcome back to Across the Mooniverse. Happy Moon Day. My name's Maddie.
Yes. I'm Mike. This is Across the Mooniverse.
Yep. Yes, it is. And we're here once again to discuss the Mooniverse. And we're on
Season 1, Episode 15. Usagi's Tank, Rei's first date.
Yup.
Yeah.
I hear that improper relationships are the enemy of all schoolgirls out there. That's just what I hear.
I love that's how it opens. Remember, a student should not be having improper relationships with the opposite gender, especially if they're older than you.
Yeah.
I think Usagi's definitely got a bone to pick with somebody. She just might.
Yeah. Just might. Maybe we'll find out why.
I think we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well,
One thing I noticed this time, and you're probably like, oh, you didn't notice that before?
Yeah.
But Usagi's bangs, Sailor Moon's bangs, form a little heart.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that before. Yeah.
Like, just little.
It's only when she's Sailor Moon. It's not like that when she's just Usagi, yeah.
It's the setup, though.
Little heart.
Yeah. So this episode starts out with everybody hanging out at the park, and by everybody I mean our three girls.
Right. Yeah, they're in this park. They never name the park. Park is unnamed.
It's just a really pretty park, and Amy goes to it regularly to read after cram school.
It starts out. This is a beautiful place. And Usagi, of course, her mind's like, this would be perfect for a date.
Yes.
and then Rei is surprised that Ami knows this park. And Ami says that she goes there to read before cram school.
Yes.
As I recall, that's the order of information. So Rei is kind of puts Ami down a little bit in like, I'm surprised you know about this place, nerd. You know.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but no. At the same time, though, I mean, maybe she just thinks that Ami just doesn't go outside.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then we meet Mr. Kogoritsu.
Yes, who Ami-chan refers to as Oji-san, which means grandpa. And that means that she's very familiar with this gentleman because, not actually her grandpa. He's just
right,
the park.
It's a term of endearment that's reserved for a grandparent.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So she's very familiar with this man and cares for him.
Right.
Yeah. And turns out he's the park caretaker.
He's the park caretaker, but not for long, we find out.
No.
Because the owner of the land sold the land and is going to turn into a business center.
Yes.
That's what he says. And we see bulldozers already bulldozing the land. He says, I don't know, what will the wildlife do? Where will it go?
Yeah, where will the animals and birds have to go?
Yeah.
It's very sad. Everyone is feeling sad about the animals not having a place to go. Rei, on the other hand, has decided that, oh shit, this park is going to go away? I need to find a boyfriend so I can go on a date at this park before it's gone. Not save the park. Go on a date at the park before it's gone.
That's right. If this place is closing, I better find a date before it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Then we cut to Luna, who's crossing a busy street, but she pauses in the middle of the street to notice that she's, where is everybody today?
Yeah.
Now
she hasn't seen anyone.
Luna, who's always on Sailor Moon's case about not having it together and this and that. We kind of chat pauses in the middle of the road, and you know what? It's a good thing I bring this up because a truck nearly hits her.
Yeah. And really, honestly, a lot of cats pause in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Cats do what they want. A truck almost hits her, but she is saved at the very last second by none other than Mysterious Stranger.
That's right. Who we finally run his name here in the next exchange.
Yes.
When Mysterious Stranger saves Luna, and then Shaggy is like, hey, and is like manhandling Luna in the roughest way possible.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't do that to my cat. This cat is special. And he's like, hey, Shaggy, maybe you should thank him for saving Luna.
Yeah.
You know, and Luna can't speak because there's other humans around, but Luna is down with that sentiment, you know.
I mean, she is being held by only her front two paws. Yeah.
And then Machoke pokes his head out of it's Game Center Crown, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the name of the Game Center Crown. And Machoke pokes his head out, and we find out that Mysterious Stranger's name is Mamoru
Chiba.
You've known for quite you. Yeah, what's his name? What's his last name?
Chiba.
Okay. Is there any significance to that? There is?
There is. It means, Mamoru is protector. Hold on. Oh, gosh, I can't remember what Chiba means. Frick. Of all the things I looked up, that was not it.
We can circle back to that.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'll make the intern look it up.
We've got 180 some episodes to go, so we're doing it. Then we cut to Knucklehead in his mansion, consulting the stars, which as we know, that's his method, which we're going to talk about again, because it's not his method. His method is he uses monsters.
I can't believe that he didn't
include that when he was doing his debriefing with Beryl, which Beryl doesn't appear in this episode.
No, she does not.
Yeah, Nephrite consults the stars, and Beta Cygni is the brightest it's ever been, and it points to the gardener.
Yes.
Remember to.
Yes. And I have information about Beta Cygni if you want, because that is something that I looked up, because we talked about the other constellations last time. So he mentions that this is the man who is going to harness Albireo.
Okay.
Which I looked that up because I was curious, and it is something. It's the name for the star system. Another name for the star system, Cygnus, which is the Swan constellation, and they gave the name Albireo to Beta Cygni. Specifically because it is the brightest star in that system.
Okay.
And it's also sometimes called the Beak Star because it's located at the head of the Swan.
And Nephrite says it's the brightest it's ever been, and it's pointing to the gardener. He's going to have peak energy coming up.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that it just happens to be the same park that we've never seen them at before, but now all of a sudden...
I mean, you know, it happens. By the way, Mamoru Chiba's name means, quite literally means protector of the planet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't named that.
Because Chiba, his last name, is the kanji that's used is used in the word chikyu. And the Japanese, which is the Japanese name for Earth, and Ba, meaning place or location. So, literally. And Mamoru, as I said, means protect. So, protect the Earth.
Yeah. So it comes back, we come back to the game center where Ray is grilling Motoki about Mamoru, asking all kinds of questions.
And previously we learned that he is in college.
Right. He's also wealthy.
Mm-hmm. He comes from a wealthy family. He lives by himself in a very expensive condo.
Yep.
And the college he goes to is tough to get into.
And Usagi overhears this college thing earlier. And it's like, you're in college?
Turns out he goes to the same college as Motoki.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Which is difficult to get into.
Yes. And so then, and as far as we know, he is the perfect match for Rei Hino.
Yeah.
That's the last thing we learned about him.
Motoki asks her why she's interested. And she's like, oh, no reason. Just playing it off. And so we come back to the park. Mm-hmm. And Nefray enchants the hat.
Yeah, but it starts with the old man, whose name just left my brain, Oji-san, looking over at the crunch. Yes, Kokurisu. Thank you. Looking out over the construction and wondering how he can save all the animals and what's going to happen with them. And then Nefray just appears. He's just there, like a creep. Yeah. And he's he's far more direct in the way he curses the object than he was with the tennis star.
Yeah, still on his head. He just reaches up and he's like, hey, monster, gather energy.
Yeah. Which answered the question that we were talking about last time of what is the purpose of the crest? Is it an accelerant or whatnot? But then we learned that no, it's more like a sealing spell to hold the Yoma for when they're at their peak. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it also the Yoma gives empowers the person whose item has been injected. So
gives them special abilities.
And Nefari just tells them it's your duty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Show those humans the fury of nature.
Yeah,
specifically the butterflies.
Yeah, exactly. because it's your duty. He put that at the end of he really plays on this idea of duty.
He does.
Totally. And then I love that butterflies attack bulldozers. That's fantastic.
I'm in my notes, I wrote the very destructive caterpillar is all grown up.
Exactly. Then we cut to Ray, who's rehearsing a little run-in with Mamoru.
She's daydreaming, and perfect plan. Gonna go flawlessly.
It's all planned out that she's gonna accidentally bump into him, and then he's going to feel so bad about it that he'll invite her out to a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And Usagi sees this when she actually is going to put it in. She sees Mamoru coming, and she steps out to bump into him, but in doing so, she trips and falls right in front of him. And Usagi says, oh, what a klutz. And Luna's like, cuss, look who's talking.
I just love that he steps on her head.
And then he's like, are you okay?
She's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, good, bye.
He's going to keep going. And she has to stop him and make it about her. And she's like, well, can I invite you for a cup of coffee? And he's like, why? For putting my head in the way of your foot.
For making you step on my head. It's so beautiful. They walk away. He agrees to go to coffee, mostly probably because he's kind of confused. He did recognize her as quote-unquote Bunhead's friend.
Right.
So he's at least tangentially familiar with her.
Right.
And so they walk off with Ray putting her, linking her arm with his, basically.
Yep. And then that's, they cut to commercial then, right? As a midpoint.
Well, Usagi says he's too old for her. That is an improper relationship right there. Yeah. My student handbook even said that it was unacceptable. Rei-chan right. is in danger.
That's right.
And she runs off to go snoop on Rei-chan. And Luna says, I bet she's just jealous.
Luna says, I hate where this is going. She says something to that effect. Yeah,
she's just like, oh no. Yeah. Which I feel like Luna has excuse to feel that way at this point.
In this particular case, Luna's isn't being a taskmaster. Luna has every right to be concerned about where this is headed.
Usagi doesn't
let us down. She's sitting there trying to figure out how she can get into the coffee shop because she doesn't have any money. Yep. And Luna's like, well, maybe you didn't spend all your money on ice cream.
There's a good reason to spend money.
Yeah. And then who shows up?
Well, first, Usagi tries to use the transformation pen.
Oh, that's
to become
right.
a waitress
that's right.
so she can snoop. And Luna's like, No. It's only meant to be used for good. And Usagi's like, oh, maybe it won't hurt.
She says, I'll be a good waitress. That's what I like. It's an essay. That's how she justifies it being used for good. It's going to be a good waitress. Yeah.
And then suddenly, Umino.
Yeah.
Creek just hanging out, inquiring about what she's doing, just being weird like he's prone to do.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you got any money? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, you want to take me on a date? And he's like, yeah.
She definitely manipulates him. She uses his affection for her advantage.
Not the first pretty girl to take advantage of the nerd who likes her. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair enough.
Yeah. This happens in the world.
Yeah.
So there they are. They're, I don't really know. I don't even remember what Rei and Mamoru were talking about. They're just kind of shooting the breeze, weren't they?
Yeah. And, they're kind of like just, it's a little awkward. It's a little quiet. And then she's just like, hey, maybe you want to go to the park with me? It's really cool. You should go with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, sure, I guess.
Usagi's off this office. She can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then they get up to leave to go to the park. And Usagi leans in to take a sip of the soda that she's sharing and realizes that it's like they're lovebirds drinking out of the same drink. And she freaks out.
Yeah. And I love the noise that they make in Japanese when they're drinking from the straw. Because it's just like, it's like the weirdest little noise and it makes me so happy. Like, I'm just like, I don't even know what that's supposed to be, but I love it.
So then there's just a real brief little interlude where Luna jumps up on Ami's shoulders and she's like, you seem sad today. And Ami just says, yeah, I am. And then we cut to the park.
Yeah.
So it's kind of suggested that that's what's on her mind is what's going on in the park.
And when we cut to the park, we see the landowner talking to the park manager. Saying that the construction crew is supposedly quit for some reason.
I know, from a butterfly attack. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they've decided to keep the park
as it is,
and they want to keep the groundskeeper.
Right. It's a little weird, I think, that they do it that way, because now all of a sudden he got what he wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're gonna keep the park as is. But he's possessed by the Yoma. So he's still
they're still evil afoot.
Evildoer.
Yeah.
Correct. Because the landowner goes and he's musing to himself that he can't believe the construction company quit because of birds and insects.
Yeah.
The butterflies. Yeah, birds and insects is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws a cigarette on the ground, at which point all the squirrels in the park attack him.
Yeah. The squirrels, their eyes glow red. They attack.
Yeah.
It's epic. It's beautiful. And according to Luna, it must be the work of the Dark Kingdom.
Naturally. These scrolls are full of evil. Doesn't she say something like that? These scrolls are full of evil energy or something like that.
Something like that. She's just like, there's a lot of evil here. We need to get this taken care of, because the only time there's evil is when it's evil.
This is as good a time as any to talk about this. So there's a lot of things in Sailor Moon that are very pro-female, almost feminist point of view, which I know is odd for a man to be talking about feminism, but nevertheless, the girls still have these motivations that are very non-feminist, like Usagi's being boy crazy. That's not a very feminist kind of point of view. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her whole motivation is you know, these various guys that she has crushes on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think is she going to grow up and listen to Bikini Kill? That's what I want to know. Is she going to be a third wave feminist? Or is she going to stay boy crazy her whole life? What do you think?
I think that part of the motivation for Sailor Moon was to write a story about, like, just a normal girl. So to ignore the boy crazy tendencies of a young girl in junior high, I think would be...
That makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds silly to say this, but it would be unrealistic.
Right. Yeah. Because she is kind of a silly heart, too. You know, and so that all fits in with it. But she's lovable.
She's lovable and she loves. Like, not only is she, like, boy crazy, but she just loves everything so authentically.
Yes, true.
It's almost like she's the soldier of love and justice or something. Weird.
I'll break that. So the landowner, he's like, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back to this place after he gets attacked.
Yeah, he's like, I won't ever bother this park again. Ugh.
Yeah. And then it comes to Rei and Mamoru, they're in a boat on the lake. Which I would feel like Tuxedo Mask would know the city better than to be surprised by this park. You know what I mean? I have this image that he's got a crime fighting wall with yarn, you know, strung from picture to picture.
Well, I think Tuxedo Mask might, but you know, we don't know what Mamoru does or does not know.
Okay. Very good.
I think Tuxedo Mask has a lot more knowledge than Mamoru does.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll get to that. Rei's on to him. Rei definitely got his number.
Yeah.
All right. So so we see them in the boat, and they're talking in the boat, and then Usagi has dragged Umino to the park as well. And Umino thinks that this is his big chance to get a smooch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that he's like, oh, it's so bold that you brought me here. We're too young for this, but I'm going to go for it. He turns around and she's been distracted or something. She's not.
She's gone. She's left. She's on another thing. Yeah, she walked away. So he's just there in the clearing by himself. Poor Umino. I feel bad for him. He's creepy, but at the same time, he has like, he's like a creepy, weird nerd dude, but at the same time, he's so genuine. Like, he's just awkward. And I adore him.
Yeah.
Oh, Umino.
So then, Usagi meets up with Ami then somehow.
Yeah.
They're together.
Yeah. Usagi's like going to go to the boat. Like, she's gonna go to the boat, like, to stop what they're doing. And then Ami and Luna happen to meet up with Usagi right at that point.
Okay. At that point. And then Mr. Kogoritsu sees them, and he's, you humans have abused the gifts of Mother Nature, the gifts Mother Nature has given you. The only way to make up for this is with your deaths. And that was really extreme. Yeah. This is the first time you've ever heard anybody, like, threaten death. You know, in all of Jadeite's schemes, it was just gathering energy. It wasn't about killing people. You know, so I thought that was an interesting change, you know, to kind of up the ante a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there was some danger of people being killed or dying in some of Jadeite's schemes, but it was like a side.
Right. This is clearly
intentional.
He's calling for them to die. And it's at that point where he's reached peak energy and again, creeping in the shadows, Nephrite calls forth the monster. I wrote down Pedasus. Is there any meaning to Pedasus. That name?
Oh, gee, not that I'm aware of. Let me double check with the intern.
All right. And at that point, Mercury transforms, and Sailor Moon is just, like, transfixed by her transformation. She's just standing there with her, and Luna has to tell her,
transform, come on.
Exactly.
And it's interesting that Mercury is the first to transform because she's, like, so incensed by what has happened to Mr. Kokoritsu.
This episode is very much about her and her relationship with Kokoritsu. And so Sailor Moon transforms, and then they cut to the boat, and Mamoru senses the bird attack before it happens. Did you notice that? He's not feeling well before.
Suddenly wrong.
Yeah, he has some kind of sixth sense about him, this Mamoru character. Yeah. Which you would think he could have used that to keep himself from getting hit by garbage.
Maybe it's like a certain threat level that it goes off. Garbage, not a big enough threat. Swarm of birds. Yeah. There was a whole Hitchcock movie about that, you know.
A few coming at you that's not going to set it off, but a swarm of birds coming at you that's you're gonna get a warning.
Oh yeah,
gotcha. Fair enough. She wastes no time casting bubble spray.
No, and we should mention that the birds attack and the boat flips over.
Yeah, and, exactly. Fair
enough. Mercury is immediately like. Bubble spray, my dudes. And it's like a slow spell to the creatures.
Yeah. Nevertheless, the Yoma is still able to cast Hand Flower on Moon and Pitocious Pearl on Mercury. So they get wrapped up by vines, basically, both of them. Just a little bit different attack on each one.
And it will never not make me laugh that the move is Hand Flower. Like, and it's so unceremonious too. It's just like the animals are moving slower now, and then Pedasus is like Hand Flower, and I was like, I can't, I'm dying, I can't. I love this show. Oh my god, it's beautiful.
Hand Flower, and then the other attack is just the Yoma's name and rope.
I mean, at least that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. So then Ami is tied up with the Pitocious rope, and she's like, must not fail. And then out of nowhere, we hear Fire Soul. Oh no! Well, Ray excuses herself from the
because they wash up on shore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, I gotta go.
She's like, I sense evil. Mama, do you stay here? I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I gotta go do things.
And then, and she does. She comes in with a nice fire saw, which it sears the plant life away. And of course, instead of being grateful, Sailor Moon's like, kind of like, Sailor Mars is like, how are you? And Sailor Moon is like, I'd be better if you hadn't tried to light me on fire.
I mean, you know. Yeah.
No, I liked that.
That was real. And then right at that moment, we get our beautiful introductory scene with the catchphrase, "In the name of the moon, I will punish you." But it's not our normal magical girl. Mercury and Mars both have their own flavor. They're incensed because, you know, you messed with Oji-san, you messed with Mars's date. This is unforgivable. You must be punished in the name of the moon.
In the name of the moon. And Usagi's like, hey, that's my catchphrase. I love that. When it's meta like that.
Yeah. She's like, how dare you?
How dare you steal my catchphrase? Yeah. Next thing that happens is Rose to the face, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Tuxedo Common fights flowers with flowers, bitch. He throws a rose at a creature made of flowers, and it stuns her long enough that Sailor Moon can get off. And
he calls Sailor Moon and says, it's up to you now. And she busts out the Moon Tierra action. Which it's always bothered me because she spins around a couple of times, but then she loses all that momentum because she stops and then she throws the tiara. A discus thrower uses the spinning momentum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But she stops. She stops dead and then throws it with her arm. exactly. And once again, it has an air burst. It never hits the Yoma. It explodes before it gets to the Yoma. Nevertheless, in this case, it totally wipes the Yoma out. The Yoma's gone.
Yes. As we expect from every other time before. And then
Tuxedo Mask says, till we meet again, Sailor Guardians.
And then he
disappears.
Whooshes into the darkness, and it's beautiful.
And then Ray's like, I think Mamoru is secretly Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah, because Usagi's having none of it. Yeah, Mamoru comes by shortly after that, after everything's all set up and Ami-chan, everyone's transformed back to their normal and all of that stuff. And Mamoru comes up and he's like, that was so awful. That was unpleasant. I'm so sad. I'm soggy. This sucks. And then that's when Rei is like, what if Mamoru is Tuxedo Kamen? And Usagi flips out. She's like, how dare you?
Oh, yeah. She's like,
Tuxedo Kamen would never be this guy. Rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Mamoru, who's heard this, says, who's Tuxedo Kamen? I don't know who this person is.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Then Umino shows up and he wants to finish their date. And Sailor Moon's like, stop making stuff up.
She's like, that didn't happen, you silly goose. everybody's just like, horribly amused.
Yeah. Mamoru's like, so this is your type, huh? And to Sailor Moon is absolute.
Yeah.
He's just like mortified. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get when you use somebody for your, you know what I mean? You try to trick somebody into thinking you're into it. You know, that's what you deserve. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I have
something to say because we never talk about the ending credits really. I don't know if you listen to them every time, but I usually do. And I don't know if it's my TV speakers or if it was the audio, but the ending theme sounds really like tinny, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
The only thing I noticed about it is that it's pretty much just her in the wind, and then there's one shooting star, and then there's a whole bunch of shooting stars. There's like six or eight of them. And then at the very end, the silhouette of Tuxedo Mask enters frame and runs up from behind her and embraces her.
As well he should.
Yeah.
Because he's bae.
And next up will be episode 16, A girl's dream, yeah. Usagi becomes a bride. Like, oh, I can't wait.
Me either. I'm very excited.
It'll be plenty. Well, we didn't talk for an hour this time, but I think we covered the episode pretty well.
We did. I will circle back on a couple of things.
Okay.
One, Pedasos, as far, it has nothing to do with plants. It's weird. A Pedasos was a broad-brimmed hat commonly worn by travelers and hunters in ancient Greece. The word is commonly used in mythology to refer to the winged hat worn by the god Hermes.
Huh. Well, I guess maybe the hat.
Maybe.
The enchanted
hat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's probably it. Because it was kind of a wide brim hat.
Yeah.
You're so smart. This is why you're my co-host. And my friend.
Yay.
The other thing was... I was gonna share Mamoru's age. He is 16 years old in the manga. In the anime, he is confirmed to be 17 years old and a first year university student.
Okay. And he has his own condo.
Yes.
Pretty sweet.
This is also stated in the anime's drama CDs. In Japan, they would typically be 18 years old, implying that he had skipped a grade.
Okay.
So,
well, he's very intelligent.
He's a very smart boy. We knew that because the college he got into is really tough to get into. You know?
Yeah. As I said.
Yes.
Fair enough. You want to talk about social media?
Yeah. So, as always, y'all can reach us on Twitter and Facebook and all of that jazz by looking up MooneyCast. And then, of course, our website, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. We try and check social media as regularly as possible. I've been trying to keep up on the Facebook and all of that stuff, but still get back into the groove of the social media thing. Honestly, so we're getting there. But yeah, feel free to hit us up because we want to talk to you guys about stuff.
Thank you for taking care of that.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I know how you feel about social media.
All right, well, happy Moon Day then.
Happy Moon Day. All right. Well, see you guys all next time, and happy Moon Day. Yay!